Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The President of the United States believes that the Cold War is over. That's fine, it is over. But Putin doesn't believe it's over. He doesn't believe that that this is a zero-sum game. Look at Moldova. Look at the occupation of Georgia. Look at the pressure on the Baltic nations. Look at what they're doing in assisting Bashar Assad slaughter tens of thousands of innocent people in cities and towns and countryside all over Syria. It is an outrage.
Blue Monday.
The real outrage is that John McCain has not been arrested and been given the anti-Nobel Prize. It is the Savage Nation. Headline, Putin crosses Obama's pink line. Exclusive, Michael Savage declares the neocons don't care which side you're on. Again, headline, Putin crosses Obama's pink line. I worked on this essay over the weekend. It was posted on WorldNet Daily yesterday. It's on michaelsavage.com. It's attracted a lot of controversy. And let me begin by asking you this. What should Obama do about the Ukraine? Now, you see, we're in a bind here in America. We've got the so-called conservatives saying Obama is weak. And then they're saying Obama should do what? Well, what do you want him to do? Go to war? Then you'll say he's a warmonger. So what would you do if you were Obama now that you've painted yourself into a corner? It's important to understand that Obama is where he is because he put himself there. He has attacked his enemies. And placated, he's attacked his friends and placated his enemies. That's what he's done. That's his modus operandi. Instead of using his muscular powers on our real enemies around the world, he's used them against his political opponents because that's all a community organizer knows how to do. He uses the Alinsky street tactics of a communist street organizer, only attack the political enemy. He has no concept that there's a world beyond getting elected and staying elected. And now, of course, it's coming home to roost. So I ask you again, what should Obama do now that he's painted himself into the corner, into this corner? I'll give you the number, then I'm going to read you my article. I worked on it all weekend, 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me begin with my first line. Let me make sense of what's happening in Ukraine for you as that country descends into armed chaos, threatening to oust the legitimately elected Ukrainian president, Viktor Yanukovych, and placed the country in the hands of rebel forces spearheaded by Ukrainian neo-Nazis and Chechen Islamist radicals. Now, let me pause right there. I didn't say that all of the Ukrainians are neo-Nazis. I didn't say that all of the Ukraine consists of Chechen Islamist radicals. I said rebel forces spearheaded by Ukrainian neo-Nazis and Chechen Islamist radicals. Now, I'll continue. Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, along with Obama advisor and designated liar Susan Rice, are neoconservatives, neocons for short. The neocons, first in the form of the Trilateral Commission, and more recently as the Carlyle Group, thrive on military conflict. When the world is at war, the neocons and the defense contractors who work with them make enormous sums of money. The neocons don't care which side you're on as long as they can work with you to create a political situation that they can grow into a war from which they will profit. The so-called Ukrainian Revolution was fostered and encouraged by Nuland, Rice, and U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Jeffrey Piat. These three were instrumental in staging a destabilization campaign. Working with Ukrainian neo-Nazis, they fostered the Ukrainian uprising that has caused the elected Ukrainian president to flee from Kiev. Arizona Senator John McCain was also part of this duplicity. McCain went to Kiev in December last year and helped incite the mobs that would overthrow the legitimately elected president. If there was such a thing as a Nobel Anti-Peace Prize, McCain would win it hands down for his work in Egypt and Syria, topped off by what he's done in the Ukraine. This is Michael Savage. I'm giving you my opinion on what's going on in the Balkans. The U.S.-supported insurgents have taken over Kiev, as you know, and now hold the Ukrainian people hostage. All of the Ukrainian people are not behind them. 50%, maybe 60% are with them, but a good 40 to 50% are against them, as the U.S. does nothing. Barack Obama, over the weekend, mouthed the emptiest of words. There will be costs to Russia, he said, for military action against the insurgents, while the U.S. found that its hands were tied. Now, remember this. You may not know this. In the early stages of the rebellion in the Ukraine, the Ukrainian elected president, Yanukovych, elected President Yanukovych, met with the rebels staging this uprising, and the two parties agreed to stop the violence and make an orderly transition to a new government chosen in a new set of elections. Instead, the right-wing rebels ignored the agreement and took over Kiev by force, with their armed patrols maintaining control through violence. Now, the situation in Ukraine has been painted as a conflict between Vladimir Putin's Russia, the so-called bad guys, and Ukrainian rebels, the so-called good guys, who seek to oust Russia from a position of influence in Ukraine and install a new government that will be responsive to all of the Ukrainian people. I don't believe a word of it. Many of the Ukrainian supranationalists are fascists. Washington's original purpose for staging a coup in Ukraine was to move Ukraine away from Russia and bring Ukraine into the EU. In other words, the neocons and the bought and paid for so-called moderates in the Obama administration wanted to wrest control of Ukraine from Putin's hands and gain economic and energy control over the country. There's much more to this story. Certainly Putin is not a good guy, but he is not the villain in this. Let me explain why I say that. I'll give you one example. The Jews have always been canaries in the coal mine of human rights in Russia. And Putin has been better to Russian Jews than any other Russian leader in the past century. With the elected government now driven out of Ukraine, the anti-Semitic U.S.-backed fascist thugs who have assumed control are vandalizing synagogues and threatening the lives of Jews in Crimea. But Anderson Cooper doesn't see that. He's only looking for the young men with tight dungarees and iPhones. Putin has also been forced to deploy military assets to Crimea, an important region that Russia ceded to the Ukraine in 1954. Remember this, the Crimea has been part of Russia, or had been part of Russia, since Catherine the Great in the 1800s. The majority population in Crimea is Russian, and its warm water Black Sea ports are critical to Russian military and trade interests. Russia cannot afford to let the Crimean region fall into the hands of the insurgents who are trying to take over their naval fleet and the Ukraine. Now, I'll pause right there because it's a lot of information. We'll go to the callers in a few minutes when I ask you, what should Obama do about the Ukraine now that he painted himself into a corner? If you want to read the entire article and comment on it, you can go to michaelsavage.com and read the article in its entirety and comment on it. Now, I want to put a few things in context. Abraham Lincoln didn't let the southern states secede, did he? Why should Putin permit Crimea to secede into the Ukraine? You may say, well, it's not really the same analogy. It's pretty close. Also, thus far, I will note that Putin has taken the Crimean Peninsula without firing a single bullet. Who would you say is the most masterful strategist in this affair? The community organizer who has never fired a Daisy BB gun? Or the judo expert and former head of the KGB? Who would you say? I also looked into Vladimir Putin's background in judo because it may be an indicator of what's coming next. And I'm not going to give it all to you in the opening of the show because Putin has used judo as a tool of diplomacy several times in the past, many times in the past. Although it's been a sport for Putin, judo has been more than a sport for Putin. He told NPR in 2001, quote, I think judo is also a philosophy in a way, and I think it's a philosophy that teaches one to treat one's partner with respect, and I engage in this sport with pleasure and try to have regular practices still. That means nothing. That has no meaning whatsoever. What you have to do is understand that Putin is especially known in the judo world for a particular judo move known as Hari Goshi. It's a move that combines a hip throw and a leg sweep. Really? A hip throw and a leg sweep. Well, I think we've seen the hip throw. He threw Obama on his back. But the leg sweep has not yet been seen. It's the Savage Nation. If you care to comment, the phone number's 855-400-7282. There is no other topic that's of any interest to me whatsoever. I will not talk about the degenerates and the drug addicts in Hollywood. I could care less. They're nothing but puppets, period, end of story. What they say has no meaning for me whatsoever. There is not a comedian in the United States of America that takes on the establishment. They are worthless. They're drivel. No matter how wild and free and crazy the Bill Maher's may pretend, they're nothing but bootlickers for the Obama administration. A pox upon all their houses. But this is what happens when you spend your life in the with the minions of fascism posing as liberals. Here we are on the brink of perhaps something far more serious than what has occurred. Vladimir Putin has signed an agreement with China. That happened hours ago. Oh, you didn't hear about that in your local paper? You were still reading about the after parties in Hollywood? You were worried about whose dress fell down? You were concerned about which goon with tattoos on his brain threw what ball to what score? And you don't know what's going on in your world? Well, the reason the world is falling apart around you is because you don't know what's going on around you. But you see, I'm paid to tell you what's going on around you. That's my only job. I have only one job, which is to explain to you what's going on in the world. I could do it lightly. I can do it heavily. I can do it with humor. I can do it with anger. I can do it in any different way that I please. But today it's going to be straightforward. I'm going to stick to my script. My script can be read in advance. If you want to see my speech, go to michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Putin developed his diplomatic finesse as the head of the Soviet secret police, and his idea of invading countries, occupying them, and really daring people to go to war is the tactics, those are the tactics of a bully.
A bully. The biggest bully in the Senate, Dick Durbin, calling Putin a bully. A man who works for a bullying president, calling Putin a bully. Now, strangely enough, or to me not so strangely enough, one of the most evil people on the planet, Madeleine Albright, popped up on Saturday morning to talk about this mess, taking time out from her lobbying on behalf of companies in China. This is the woman who bombed Serbia, committing war crime after war crime in the minds of millions of Europeans who knew it at the time. This is the woman who was the architect of the stealing of Kosovo from the Serbs. This is a woman who, no doubt, as I said to you on Friday, along with Brzezinski, were the architects of this entire event going on in the Ukraine. I want you to listen to clip one. Here is Mad Albright.
I think what is important is to realize that the Russians, in many ways, might be buying something that will cause them incredible internal problems with the variety of ethnic groups that are in Crimea and are, in effect, some of the issues in Dagestan and various places. So I think that Putin may have deeply miscalculated.
So he's afraid of the Yenta, famous for her brisket in Washington, D.C. Putin heard that in translation and started to shake in his judo clothing because the Yenta, who was famous for a bad brisket, told him that he miscalculated in the Crimea. Is she implying that America will stir up the Muslims in the Crimea? Is she implying that the United States, along with other forces, will once again meddle in someone else's internal affairs? I think so. That's what she's famous for. But I want to ask you, I'm not talking about the Oscars. I'll play only one Oscar piece today, which is one actor who, thank God, and there was dead silence in the audience amongst the anti-Christian audience in Hollywood. And so we'll play that one. He's actually a great actor. I've liked him for a long time. Let's go to the callers. Mike on WABC. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, as a genuine Ukrainian-American, I want to thank you. Thank you, thank you. You're the only one in the media telling the whole story. The only one. Rush actually praised the neo-Nazis in Western Ukraine and Sean the other last week. You can't.
Wait. Say that again. Russia or Rush?
Oh, Rush. Rush Limbaugh was praising the Western Ukraine, maybe because they were loyal to his fellow Germans. I don't know.
I don't understand how stupid some of these people are. They're harking back. All they can do, remember, they're uneducated. You've got to understand. These people never took a history class. They've been faking it for 20 years and getting away with it. I'm not going to mince words. They're over their heads. So what do? They go back to Ronald Reagan again in the Cold War, and the Soviet Union is the evil empire. That's all I can do. These are knee-jerk conservatives.
Yeah, he actually called the Eastern Ukrainians, who suffered the most under Stalin's genocide and Hitler's invasion, and because of the Western Ukrainian Nazis, he actually called them communists. Can you believe that? In this country, they all vote Republican, but they're communists. Can you imagine this guy?
Let me see if I follow you. You're a Ukrainian who agrees that Putin has a right to take the Crimea?
No, I'm not really happy about Putin. I want a referendum in East Ukraine if they want to split from the... Because the Eastern Ukrainians want nothing to do with the Western Ukraine. I mean, they just want nothing to do with them. And these,
of course there's a division. There are those who want to join the EU, and then there are those who want to what? Be independent.
Well,
by the way, Mike, I want to be very clear. The Ukrainian people have a right to free themselves from the basic colonial power of Russia, the same way the United States did King George III. But it's not our business. That's what I'm trying to say.
I
want people to understand where I'm coming from. If the Ukrainian, if the nation of Ukraine, which to me is different than the Crimea, for reasons that I've described since Friday, if the Ukrainian people decide to free themselves and liberate themselves from the colonial power of Russia, if you want to put it that way, well, let them go to war with Russia the way the colonists did. But it's their fight, not ours. Don't you agree with that?
I believe that there should be a referendum in East Ukraine and let them vote who they want to go with because they're the majority.
All right, let's go to the ballot box and see what happens. Let's go to the ballot box. But you do agree that the spearhead of the opposition in the Ukraine was led by neo-Nazis and thugs, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because
the face of it, though, were little girls with long hair and tight jeans holding iPhones singing We Shall Overcome. Once again, you've been had. Once again, you have been had by the media. Once again, the morons in the media who have no historical knowledge whatsoever have misled you. And I warn you, you're over your head, especially the knee-jerk conservatives in the media who are hearkening back to Ronald Reagan against the evil empire.
A lot of my fellow countrymen say, we're weary of war. We want to get out. I hear this phrase over and over again. There'll never be another land war which the United States engages in. Do you know how many times in history that's been said? Do you know how many times prior to World War II, when Hitler marched into the Sudetenland, and when Neville Chamberlain said, we're not going to fight in a faraway country for people that don't speak our language and we don't know? My friends, the lessons of history are that we have to be ready. And as Ronald Reagan used to say, peace through strength.
And, of course, he was cheered at AIPAC, trying to incite the mobs in America to go to war for interests that have nothing to do with America. As I said, if there were such a thing as a Nobel Anti-Peace Prize, John McCain would win it hands down for what he is doing in the Ukraine, what he did in Egypt, and what he did in Syria. If there was a Nobel Anti-Peace Prize, in other words, a warmonger's prize, McCain wins the prize, hands down. Again, I'm referring to my article, Putin Crosses Obama's Pink Line. It's on michaelsavage.com or WND. And I'm going to read the conclusion of my article and then go into it a little further because I'm the only one who, in the media, I think, who's written anything on it to this, in the radio business, let's put it that way. There's some fairly good articles, but in radio, in the major media, no one's taken the time to think this through and write it out. I don't think they understand what to do. As I say, the knee-jerk conservatives in radio are calling for war because that's all they know how to do. They're knee-jerk conservatives, so they're going back to say, you could feel the wheels spinning. Let's see, Ronald Reagan, what would he do? Evil empire, atheists, Russia. We have to be strong. Peace through strength. That's the best they could come up with. And that's why talk radio is so important, because there's a lot more that can be said. And here's what I wrote at the end of my article. Are you ready? The greatest hypocrisy here comes from those who call for open borders with Mexico and amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens who are violating our territorial integrity. It is our own politicians and advisors, Dick Durbin, Lindsey Graham, and John McCain, along with national security renegades like Brzezinski and Albright, who have made our own borders meaningless. Did you hear what I said? What's amazing to me is that these duplicitous individuals are telling us that Putin should respect the Ukraine's borders and sovereignty while they themselves have destroyed our borders and our own sovereignty with Mexico. And then I ended with this. Our foreign enemies are less to be feared than the American subversives who are orchestrating the takeover of Ukraine by pro-Islamist Ukrainian neo-Nazis. Agree or disagree? What should Obama do about the Ukraine? WABC Igor, go ahead, please.
Yes, how are you doing, Mr. Savage? You know what? I've been listening to your show for many years, and now I'm very, very disappointed by the position you stand. You know, because you don't know anything about the history in Ukraine. I'm Ukrainian myself. I'm from Western Ukraine. Everything what you're saying right now sounds like a pro-Kremlin propaganda. You have become pro-Kremlin talking head, Mr. Savage. It's a shame on you. You know what? You don't know anything about...
I know nothing. You know, that's like saying because you disagree with me on America, I know nothing about America.
In other words,
if I were to disagree with you on your opinion on America, I would say... Because you're not American by birth, you have no idea what America is. That's ludicrous. That's ludicrous. We all have history books. You didn't write the history books, did you?
Yes, I did.
Sir, did you write all of the history books on the area, or am I mistaken?
I know. I know the history of Ukraine. And you know what?
I understand, but you know your history of the Ukraine. There's a broader history of the Ukraine than your history.
You are misleading millions of people right now. You're doing...
Well, maybe I'm not mis... Well, wait a minute. Let's turn it around. What would you have America do? Go to war for your people?
Luke, you know what? People...
No, answer the question. Let's cut to the chase. You don't like my opinion. You're entitled to not like my opinion. You're entitled to call me names. You're entitled to say I'm wrong. I accept that. I don't agree with you, but I accept your ability to dislike my opinion. So what would you do if you were advising President Obama?
What I would do? I would... frozen all Kremlin accounts, you know, around the world. I would isolate this country. You know what? I would release, you know, with the, you know what? I would work closely with Saudi Arabia, you know what, to produce more oil, you know what, to break Putin's...
Wait, why would you have to work with Saudi Arabia if you're such an expert on the Ukraine? You should know that our great president is blocking the transportation of oil from Canada. We don't need it from Saudi Arabia. So apparently you haven't read the textbook on oil, but you're an expert on your own country. That's well enough. No one's an expert on everything. So I'm glad to hear that you wouldn't suggest that we move the our 7th Fleet into the Mediterranean and go to war with Russia. I don't think you want that, do you?
I would suggest, you know what? I would do everything what Ronald Reagan would do. Because
Here we go again. You must be listening to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity.
You're just
being a knee-jerk reaction is all you're saying. What do you mean Ronald Reagan? Ronald Reagan's been dead a long time. The world has changed since Ronald Reagan. The wall came down since Ronald Reagan. Russia today is not Russia of 30 years ago. You know that better than I do.
It is, Mr. Savage. It is even worse than 30 years ago.
Because wait a minute. It's worse than one salami hanging in a butcher shop? The Russian people are not starving to death anymore, are they?
They brainwashed zombies. Don't you understand that?
All Russians are brainwashed zombies. So all of the great wealth that's been created under Putin is all illusory? It's not real?
No, Mr. Savage, let me ask you the question. How much have you been sold for? This is the question. How much have you been sold for?
Don't be stupid. Don't be idiotic. You were given the floor on a national show, and you have fallen on your face, Igor. I'm sorry to tell you, you did not come up to the level that I had hoped you would. 855-400-7282. What should Obama do about the Ukraine? I will go back to my article. Obama hasn't got a clue about what the conflict in the Ukraine means. Nuland and Rice, two of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, who seem to make so many critical decisions for this administration, told him to blame Putin, so that is what he did. Now, let me go back to the beginning, because many of you are as confused as Rush Limbaugh is on this subject. Many of you are as stupid as Sean Hannity is on this subject. I am not confused, and I'm not stupid. Do you understand that the man who was overthrown was a duly elected president of the Ukraine? Yes or no? Start with that. Do you believe in elections, or don't you believe in elections? I thought America believed in elections. Well, there was a legitimately elected president. And then what happened? During the Olympics, when Putin was trying to present a face of peace, John McCain, that warmongering piece of garbage, that piece of that old relic, that relic, John McCain, that broken Buick with bumpers falling off and flat tires, had the gall to go to the Ukraine during December, knowing that Putin could not react, and stir up the masses against the duly elected president. McCain is a monster. And McCain did not go over there on his own. McCain went over there because he was told to do so by Nuland in the State Department and by Obama's minions. They wanted to overthrow the duly elected president of the Ukraine so they could steal the Ukraine from the people themselves and make it a satellite of the corrupt European Union. Do you think that it would be paradise if the Ukraine suddenly joined the EU? Let's put Russia aside for a moment. Let's play it out the other way. Is the European Union the panacea that the Ukrainian people need? The EU is broke. The EU has no money to give the Ukrainian people. In fact, Putin himself offered them $15 billion if they wouldn't break away. And the minute they broke away, he said, I'm not giving you the $15 billion. Has the EU come along and said, we'll give you the $15 billion? The EU has said nothing. The plutocrats in Belgium have nothing to offer the Ukrainian people. So now let me go back to my main point, which is a fulcrum of the entire discussion. The Ukrainian people have a right to self-determination. I've said that. Don't accuse me of something I haven't said. I didn't say they should sell out to Putin and give themselves over to Russia. If the Ukrainian people want a civil war and they want to fight Russia at the same time, because that's what it's going to take, since the country's so divided, they're going to have to fight two wars at once, both a civil war and then a war against the oppressive Russians. Tell me how that war ends. I can tell you right now, before one shot is fired, it ends in a disaster for everyone. Yes, of course, I understand some men would rather fight and die than live as slaves. I get that. I understand the history of my own nation. I understand the history of my own people. I understand the history of my own life growing up in New York City. It was kill or be killed in that sense. It was survival of the fittest. The world has not changed one iota from the time the first caveman went into another man's cave and tried to steal his wife and his food. I'll be right back. Talking about peace and war. We're on the verge of war because of an incompetent presidency. A president who has spent all of his capital attacking his political enemies domestic and ignoring his political opponents on foreign shores. A president who knows only how to attack political opponents because that's what a community organizer learns when he is growing up under the rules for radicals. But in the real world, in the big world, he leaves it to the four horsewomen of the apocalypse to make his decisions for him. We're talking, of course, about the Ukraine. You want to read my article, you can get it on WND or michaelsavage.com. If you were to truly understand what's going on, as two callers ago accused me of selling out to Putin, I don't know Putin, I'd like to meet him. I've never been to Russia, nor have I received so much as a ruble from Russia. But I'd like to receive a ruble from Russia in the form of an invitation to understand their point of view. I think I pretty much understand it. But if you want to truly understand what's going on over there, you have to look back to the fall of Napoleon to understand what's going on today. The world had fallen apart. I'm not going to give you the whole history lesson, but after Napoleon fell, there was an uneasy peace in Europe. And many of the nations were reorganized after the Congress of Vienna. Without boring you with a history lesson, I know many of you don't like history and you fall asleep when anyone talks about it. And then you go back to the knee-jerk reactions, let's say, of the knee-jerk conservatives who say, well, Ronald Reagan said peace through the strength of Verify. Ronald Reagan, evil empire. If that's as far as you want to go, good luck to you. But if you really want to learn what's going on, read history. And then you'll understand the danger that the world is in right now. It's a tinderbox all over again. It's very similar to the guns of August 1917. For years, I've been telling you that World War I started almost by accident. It started in a very similar manner. It started with great nations staring each other down, and then one great nation staring the other one down a little too far. And before long, one moved troops in, then the other moved troops in. And before long, millions of men were slaughtered for nothing. That's where we are. That's where we are today. It's a very dangerous time. And having said that, I think that there are two distinct nations here that we should be talking about. The Crimea and the Ukraine, because they're not one and the same. They're not one and the same. I have to repeat to you that the Crimea is never going to be given up by Putin, no matter what happens. I told you that last week. Not because I said he should. Not because I said it was justified. Not because I said I wanted it. I said because on the basis of realpolitik, he's going to take the Crimea. If you were Putin, would you let the enemy take over your naval fleet? If you were Putin, would you let an impotent military entity take over your naval fleet and take over your submarine fleet? Of course you wouldn't. Do you realize that the same week that Obama announced he wants to cut our military force to levels below that of World War II and our naval fleet down to levels of World War I, do you realize the very week, a week after he did that, we wake up to realize that Putin has 950,000 men under arms right now? Let me repeat the number for those of you who are quick to go to war. Russia has 900 and some odd thousand men in uniform. We have about 450,000 in uniform, and the Quislings want to cut it down to levels below that. And 2 weeks ago, the great strategist Barack Hussein Obama said, we're going to kill the tanks. We're not going to make any more tanks because the age of the land war is over. We don't need tanks. We're not making tanks in America anymore. And Hegel, the bagel, rolled along with that commentary. A man sent in for one reason alone. Hegel was sent in to destroy the military. After Pancetta did his job, along came Hegel to finish the job and put the knife into the neck of the bull and kill it altogether. So now at a time like this, you would think a sane president would say, we're immediately going to redevelop our tanks. You want to send the message to Putin? Do something on our shores. Open up the tank assembly line again. I believe it was in Illinois. I don't know where it was, Ohio. Say, we're changing our plan. We're building tanks again. We're building our big tanks all over. Do something domestic. Show that you care if that's what you want to do. You don't have to actually go to war to make a move. But Obama didn't even do that, did he? You could restart the assembly lines on our tanks, couldn't you? Wouldn't that be one maneuver to say, wait a minute, not so fast, Mr. Putin. We are also in this game. Now, having said all of that, I have to go back to my main point. If the Ukrainian people wish to seek self-determination, and let's say amongst the Ukrainian people there is a strong wing of fascism, which there is, and a strong wing of Islamic radicalism, which there is, the largest majority of the Ukrainian people are not nationalists in that regard. They're not fascists in that regard. And they're not Chechen Muslims or sympathizers in that regard. And their fathers didn't fight with Hitler, as did the neo-Nazis in the Ukraine. You may not know this, but the Ukrainians threw flowers at Hitler's troops when they invaded the Ukraine. And Russia never forgot that. You have to understand history. Those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. The Russians have a far longer memory than do we. In World War II, when the Nazis swept into the Ukraine, the Ukrainian people threw flowers at them and then set about slaughtering many minority groups. The Russians never forgot that because the Russians were in a life and death struggle against National Socialism. So again, I say to you, there are far more many more elements to this than meet the radio eye. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Read my article during the break on michaelsavage.com and come back with your questions.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The Russians have basically violated every major treaty they've ever entered into. We see how they've basically lied. I mean, let's call it what it is. They are lying, and this government is a government of liars, the Russian government.
There's the genius, better known as the Ice Cream Man, came back from the streets of Miami to give his opinion. Possibly one of the most shallow men in the history of the Republican Party, Marco Rubio, a real favorite of certain radio programs who go back to Ronald Reagan's heyday. And again, knee-jerk conservatives need not apply on the show today because there are too many elements here that you don't understand. If you want to understand what is going on, even in a scintilla of what's going on, you need to read history. You can't just listen to the radio. You can't just shoot your mouth off and think you know what you're talking about. You can't say Constitution and Ronald Reagan and evil empire because you're not going to get where you want to go. You'll be as vacuous as you were when you began the conversation. So we can go back to the fall of Napoleon, which is too far back if you want to discuss this in some detail. I think that's too far back. We can make it as simple as saying, in my words, Russia is the PG&E of Europe. And you're telling PG&E to shut the gas off now? So in other words, that's my saying. Want to make it comedic, semi-comedic in the political arena? Russia is the PG&E of Europe. The pipelines run through the Ukraine into Europe. Who do you think is going to control the gas? The pipeline controllers or those who have the gas? They want to turn the gas off, everyone will freeze in Europe. That's not going to happen. So let's go back to the Nazi Germany period, because a lot can be seen if we go back to the military occupation of the Ukraine by Hitler and what happened. What happened was several large groups of Ukrainians welcomed the Nazis. Why? It wasn't because they were neo-Nazis. They wanted to be independent from the Soviet Union. They remembered the killing of the Ukrainian farmers, the so-called kulaks, by Stalin, a very important part of the story that the Ukrainians will never forget, nor should they. I told you about the kulaks several months ago. The kulaks were basically farmers who brought their crops to market and made a small profit. Stalin said, no, the government can do it better than the free market farmer, and he seized the farms from the... First, he started to debase them and call them the rich, like Obama's doing. Did you know that? Yes. Like Obama is now attacking the rich and conducting class warfare, Stalin started by attacking the farmers of the Ukraine in the 1930s. Let me make it real simple for you. First, he demonized the farmers and said they were profiteers, like Obama is demonizing you for running a business and making a reasonable profit. Okay, him, de Blasio, and the others. They're demonizing you, getting you ready for a fall, a real fall. You better study your history or you're condemned to repeat it. But to go back to the 30s, so Stalin first demonizes the farmers of the Ukraine and says that they're profiteers and the government could do it better and the prices will be lower and there'll be more corn and there'll be more wheat. And so the government seizes the farms from the evil kulaks, the Ukrainian farmers, imprisons and kills them, and the government takes over the farms, and there's a massive famine in the Soviet Union along the lines of Obamacare. In other words, the same people who are managing our medical care now, their ancestors, let's say their cohorts, tried to manage agriculture in the Soviet Union in the 1930s, ladies and gentlemen of the savage nation. Okay, so the Ukrainians remembered that. So when the Nazis came in, they set a pox upon both their houses. We will join the Nazis. But then what happened was the Nazis, of course, deported hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians as slave laborers. And then there was a rapid change in the attitude amongst the Ukrainian collaborators with the Nazis. By the time the Red Army came back to the Ukraine and drove the Nazis back to Germany, a large percentage of the population welcomed the soldiers from Russia as liberators. And by this time, more than 4.5 million Ukrainians had joined the Red Army to fight Germany, and more than 250,000 served as Soviet partisan paramilitary units. I'll stop right there. So in other words, the Ukrainians have been caught between the devil and the deep blue sea for a very long period of time, and they're caught there again right now. You say, well, okay, so it's not Nazis versus the Soviet Union. It's the EU versus the new Russia. The elements are not exactly the same, which they aren't. The excesses against the Ukrainians were not the same as they were in the 1930s, thank God. But the resentments still exist. The resentments still exist, which is why we have no business being there. We have absolutely no business being there. And for these warmongers, like, do I have to name them all? I'm not going to name them all. You know that McCain is the worst. As I said in the opening of the first hour, if there was an anti-Nobel Prize, McCain should win it hands down. He's like a relic, like a B-29 bomber with parts falling off. It's still flying in the sky. The fenders are falling off a B-29. That's what he looks like to me. And he doesn't shut up. And wherever you go, there he is, running around every channel. Can't get enough of the spotlight. This is his moment, beating the war drums before AIPAC today, telling the Israeli lobby what they wanted to hear, that we need more foreign intervention. We need a more muscular intervention against Russia. And AIPAC, like morons, cheered him on, not knowing what they were doing. What do you think, they're all geniuses in AIPAC? What do you think, that all Jewish people are so smart? You think just because they belong to AIPAC, they're geniuses? Do you think they know what they're doing? I'm not so sure they all know what they're doing. But let's not talk about AIPAC. Let's talk about my article, which is on michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation. I wrote it over the weekend. I've been agitated since Friday afternoon. I haven't slept in 72 hours, really. I've been agitated around the clock since this started. When I listened to Obama's speech on Friday afternoon, his three-minute speech, and then I shut down the microphone, and I saw that the news reported that 5 minutes after his somber speech, where he said nothing, he went to a beer bust with fundraisers. I said, oh, my God, this is far worse than I thought. And then when I woke up after a fitful night in bed and I read that he didn't even attend the National Security Council meeting or whatever they call it, no one knows where he was. Where's Waldo? Where is this man? What does he do in a time of crisis? Once again, they had to Photoshop him in the next day, just like after Benghazi, they Photoshopped him in. With the strategy session, remember? Get bin Laden. Do you remember the Photoshopped Obama? They put him into the picture when he wasn't really there. So I ask you again, what should Obama do about the Ukraine? You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't say he's a weak leader, which he is, and then say he should go to war, because one does not require the other. He can be a weak leader, and he doesn't have to go to war. There are many things that America can do without going to war. And I say we have no dog to hunt in this particular fight. Absolutely none. And I believe that there's going to be a civil war in the Ukraine. I believe that it's clear to all concerned that the takeover of the peninsula by Putin could have been predicted a long time ago. I said it last week, not because I'm a genius. It was pretty clear that Putin was going to take the Crimea for two reasons. One, because he felt it was his. And without firing a single bullet, he took over the Crimea. Pretty good strategist, wouldn't you say? He didn't have to drop a bomb, but he took over the Crimea. They have yet to fire one bullet. Not one person died in the Crimea, so far as I know, unless an American newsman died of a heart attack trying to seek some trouble over there, stirring up some trouble. Russia is the PG&E of Europe. Do you want them to close the gas off and have everyone to freeze to death? Because they can do that. Let's go to a quick call or two on the Savage Nation. Again, read my article, Putin Crosses Obama's Pink Line. You can either comment by calling the Savage Nation, which you can't do because we're sold out, as you would expect. Or, frankly, you can post a comment on the website, WND, because that's where it's really originally posted. So some are attacking me, some are supporting me, some don't know what's really going on. It's really not about me. It's really about the situation and my opinion of it. But please, whenever you hear over the next few days the following, you will know that the people saying it are as vacuous as you've always feared. If you hear the words Ronald Reagan more than twice in an hour, you will understand they're way over their head. WJR Ed, welcome to the Savage Nation. Vladimir, WJR, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Michael, can you play the conversation between Victoria Nuland and the ambassador to Ukraine, where they're planning the coup, where she's unhappy with the Europeans because they don't want to go in on it, and she gives them the F word?
I think we have it. I think we played it last week. We don't have it. But, Vladimir, you do know that she's one of the key architects of this. Let's say she was the messenger, not the architect. The architects are probably Brzezinski and Albright.
Well, didn't they spend $5 billion in covert operations there in Ukraine?
I wouldn't know. I don't have such information. Where do you get that information from?
Well, I read that on the computer.
But you see, a lot of what we read on the internet is, you know, hearsay and whatnot. We do know that we were meddling in the Ukraine. And would you, in this situation, Vladimir, do you think that Russia has a right to seize the Crimea? I mean, it's done already. It's de facto. It's an issue that's not even worth talking about. But let me ask you something. Do you think Russia did the right thing?
I think, like you said, it was expected. What are they going to do? Why did the Ukrainian commander of the base defect to Russia?
Yeah, the naval commander defected to Russia because he knew which way the wind was blowing, and he didn't want to be hung in a military prison. That's the main reason. He wanted to save his own neck. By the way, what do you think is going to happen tonight when the deadline is reached, approximately 10 o'clock tonight Eastern Time? Putin's a pretty clear leader. I mean, apparently he said either give up those ships or we're gonna spill blood. Did you hear that one today?
Well, I know this. You know, Putin and Obama went at it in Syria. Obama backed down. They didn't get those pipelines through Syria. Now they want the pipelines to control them through Ukraine. And we can't even get a pipeline to Texas.
That's right. And Obama wants to, he's worried about a pipeline in the Ukraine. And he wants to block a pipeline running through our own hinterland. By the way, did you read the latest headline? Russia and China have united as a result of Obama's weakness and Kerry's diddling. It is 18 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage.
I think the strong condemnation that it's received from countries around the world indicates the degree to which Russia's on the wrong side of history on this. If, in fact, they continue on the current trajectory that they're on, that we are examining a whole series of steps, economic, diplomatic, that will isolate Russia.
Are you kidding? This is crazy. Have you ever heard anything as tepid in your life from a world leader? He sounds like the academic Marxist that he is. They will isolate Russia? How? Russia has all the cards. What do you mean, isolate Russia from whom? What does that mean? They're not going to be able to go to Europe and go to an opera? What are they going to do to you? What are they going to do to Russia? I want to know what they mean by isolate Russia. What does that mean? What does that mean by isolate Russia? Explain what that means to me. Obama painted himself into this corner. He can't get out of it. There's no way out of this corner. None whatsoever. He did this. His weakness invited this. On the other hand, I don't believe we have a place in this battle. And, of course, Obama doesn't agree with me because he doesn't give a damn what anyone thinks except what the controllers tell him what to do. So they're sending, I think, hundreds of millions of dollars now to the Ukraine in aid of some kind. Your money, again, going to the Ukraine. It's going to bail the Ukraine out. Obama says Russia is on the wrong side of history in Ukraine. I believe Obama's been on the wrong side of history ever since he became a U.S. senator. And I believe that we need to be bailed out by a foreign company, a foreign nation, to save us from this administration. I wish that there was a foreign power that could come here and save us from what he's doing to this nation. But that's a separate story. What should Obama be doing about the Ukraine? I want to go back to my article because I didn't finish it on michaelsavage.com. Putin crosses Obama's pink line because it's as fresh as it was when I wrote it over the weekend. And I will not read the entire thing to you again because you can read it yourself. In addition to deploying military assets in Crimea, Putin has contacted his allies in at least eight other strategically located countries to assure that Russia has access to those countries' military facilities. You didn't know that. So Putin's forces can extend their long-range naval and strategic bomber capabilities. In other words, the U.S. interference in Ukrainian politics has resulted in Putin expanding his military influence, while at the same time, Barack Obama is bent on shrinking our own military to pre-World War II levels. Once again, the incompetent, uninformed, and uninvolved president of the U.S. has drawn a pink line in the sand. Obama doesn't know whose side he's on. He didn't even bother to attend the meeting of his national security advisor on Friday afternoon as the Ukrainian conflict was escalating and Putin was deploying his military. The new guessing game in Washington, D.C. is not where's Waldo, it's where's Barry. They took the trouble to Photoshop Obama into pictures of national security meetings during the Benghazi crisis. In this case, they're not even bothering to pretend he's in charge. Obama hasn't gotten a clue, got a clue about what the conflict in the Ukraine really means for us. Nuland and Rice, two of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, who seem to make so many critical decisions of this administration, told him to blame Putin, so that is what he did. I end my article as such. The greatest hypocrisy here comes from those who call for open borders with Mexico and amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens who are violating our territorial integrity. These people, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, Dick Durbin, and the others, who have destroyed our borders with Mexico, are telling us that the world should respect Ukraine's borders and their national sovereignty. Think about the irony of that situation. Is there anyone else in the electronic media who has said that? If there is, I'd like to know who it is. No one said it but me. Is there anyone else in the electronic media or the print media who has said that? No. The very same devils who are destroying and decimating our national sovereignty and our borders are calling for the national sovereignty and firm borders for the Ukraine. Does it get any more cynical than that? Our foreign enemies are less to be feared than the American subversives like McCain, who are orchestrating the takeover of Ukraine. I stand by those written words. I'll be back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Welcome back. It's 34 minutes after the hour. We're all focused on the Ukraine. It's a new flashpoint, obviously. And as I say, I've been up since Friday afternoon researching and writing on this, trying to come to the show with some information that maybe you didn't have and some viewpoints. And many of you hate me for this. Some people are accusing me of this and of that. I'm an independent thinker, so pardon me for thinking. But this is where my mind goes. But, you know, there's an element to this that we haven't discussed yet, which is that as much as there is nationalism and militarism involved, there is a simple old trade war involved. You see, as you well know, Russia is the PG&E of Europe, as I said earlier. And right now, Gazprom, which is the Russian-controlled natural gas giant Gazprom, they've just threatened to disrupt gas supplies to Europe in response to John Kerry's blustering. So the West says we're going to impose harsh economic sanctions on Moscow. And Moscow says, I'll tell you what, we'll turn the gas off to the Ukraine and to Europe. Now, that's not the whole story, because as that is going on, where Russia has this monopoly on gas, you may not understand that there's a huge amount of fracking going on in Eastern Europe. Chevron, for example, has been very active in the Western Ukraine, in Romania, and in Poland in the last 2 years, developing gas fields in these regions through shale. So Western Ukraine, Poland, Romania, and the EU have tremendous financial interests in to develop their own independent energy sources and break the Russian monopoly over energy, right? And Russia, naturally, on the other side, wants to control the monopoly and their assets in eastern Ukraine and Crimea. So the U.S. right now, the five sister oil companies, including U.S.-based companies, are fighting Moscow's Gazprom right now. There's a monopoly, a war of monopolies going on. And that's a subtext to all of this. It's not as clear as a territorial imperative or a nationalist imperative or a military imperative or a naval assets. It's an energy war at the bottom of it to a certain extent. And that's going to play out in ways we can't even imagine. Well, we can imagine in ways that we can't predict, because if they should continue to develop the shale in Poland, in Hungary, Romania, Moldova, why then Russia loses its monopoly and the ball game is over. So that's going on as well. That's why I think Putin might take all of Ukraine, by the way. In other words, I didn't say he should. I didn't say that I want him to. But I'm telling you, if you're a strategist and a judo player, and you say that they're trying to break my monopoly on gas, and I have this swath of territory that's sitting there undefended, I think I'll take it now. So I'll own the shale. And the U.S. oil companies can't grab the shale out from underneath the Ukraine. I'll take it. That could happen. That could happen. That could happen tomorrow, in the next few weeks. Listen, it's all about money. War is always about money. It's always about power and money. WABC, it's time to go to some callers on the program. I've been talking a long time. I've been thinking about this over the weekend. I'm giving you one man's opinion. See what your opinions are. Sergey on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Just what I want to say that when you look at the European Union, European Union is basically, I actually, by the way, support the President Putin going into Crimea, and I think he has to extend his operation and took those areas which actually historically been Russian. And, you know, no one asked the simple question, how come, you know, so many Russians in the area with, you know, called Ukraine, right? Because they were actually historically Russians. You know, Russians lived there. And the border...
Well, that's true on the eastern part of the Ukraine. It's not true on the western part of the Ukraine, which is more, you know, closely aligned with Poland and Hungary and Europe.
That's right. But don't forget one more thing, Michael, that European Union is de facto Germany incorporated. You know, the Germany basically owns European Union. You know, what the Germans couldn't achieve in 1945, they achieved it in 1995 by basically right now they loan the money to all European little countries. And by the way, they just basically own that. What Europe, Ukraine historically been a stomach and the legs of Germany, right? Right now, the Germany is just a Germany, one of the countries, right? Well, once the Germany gets Ukraine, it will get a stomach, means all that agricultural complex what the Ukraine has. And the legs means cheap labor and the production lines, which is on east of Ukraine, plus the access to the Black Sea and access to Turkey and all the way to China because there's a nice railroad running all the way to China. And once the Germany going to get that kind of strength, Germany itself doesn't have any resources. Once the Germany going to get such a strength, it will grow rapidly, right? And that's going to start, you know, with the rapid economic expansion, as you know, comes the ambitions, right? Now United States basically has to compete with China and with Germany, you know? And
well, I understand what you're saying, and you're deeply enmeshed and involved with this, as we all are. Anyone with a brain is quite concerned with what's going on right now, because this is a tinderbox that could unfortunately devolve into World War III. Because of the incompetence and weakness of Obama, anything is liable to happen, Sergey. A weak leader is also a very dangerous leader. I want to repeat that. A strong leader is rarely a dangerous leader. I didn't say a maniacally strong leader. A strong leader, it means he's in control. He knows just how far to go. A weak leader is hysterical in his reactions. We have the latter, not the former. That's what I worry about. We have a leader who would rather attack the Tea Party than the Soviet Union when he should have, or China when he should have. We have a weak leader who would rather attack conservative groups than the real enemies of freedom. That's what I worry about. Again, if you want to predict what might happen, you can look in different areas for your tea leaves, you tea-loving drinker, you tea lovers of tea. I looked to Putin's form of judo, and it's strange what we found. Neil did some research on this. As you know, Putin is a judo expert. He's a black belt. Don't underestimate what I just said to you. Because any practitioner of martial arts will tell you they use the psychology of their martial art in their daily life. And so a world leader who's a black belt in judo is someone not to be dismissed. How did he become a black belt in judo and why? Well, if you read Putin's biography, he was a street fighter. He was a nationalist street fighter, a tough guy, and he grew up as a short guy, by the way. He was a short guy in the back streets of Leningrad. And he loved to fight. He taught himself to bite, to tear hair. He taught himself to brawl. And he remains proud of his youthful violence. In fact, it's reported that he often picked fights in the street as a young KGB officer. Now compare him to our dear leader, who attacks grandmothers whose politics he disagrees with. So, what do we gain by looking at the judo moves? Not that much. I'm not a judo expert by any means. I'm not even a martial artist. I'm just an analyst. But in my reading, I found out that his judo moves are based upon a movement called Harigoshi. Pardon my bad Japanese. They say it's a move that combines a hip throw and a leg sweep. And what was that about? Well, the invasion of the Crimea was the hip throw. Tomorrow you'll see the leg sweep. The move originated as a way to prevent your opponent's sidestepping escape before pounding them down onto the floor. Right now, he has neutralized Obama, okay? And he can't escape. Tomorrow he'll pound him into the floor. And I believe this is going to happen sooner rather than later. I don't believe that he's going to limit it to the Crimea. I'll go out on a limb and say we all think that the Crimea will be the limitations of the Russian aggression, if you want to put it that way. I don't. I think that was stage one. And he found out that he could take it over without firing so much. He didn't expend a bullet. And the ancient martial arts, I think the Japanese wrote, that the mark of the greatest warrior is he who does not even unsheath his sword. I'll never forget that. And so without unsheathing a sword, he's taken over a huge piece of land. So what's to stop him from taking over the next big piece of land? He could say, well, I'm not taking the Ukraine. I'm only protecting the Russian-speaking populations of the eastern Ukraine who need our protection from the others. And he'll see what happens then. And if nothing happens then, he'll take the center part of the Ukraine. The next, he'll take the whole of the Ukraine. And there we go, my friends. And before long, he'll take Poland and Hungary. And God knows we might see the reemergence of the ex-Soviet Union right in front of our eyes, owing to Obama's weakness, miscalculation, and meanness of spirit. That's one man's opinion. I've given you an awful lot in this last segment. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's take a quick call before going to break. Hal on WABC, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. Savage? Pleasure to talk to you.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, sorry?
Speak your piece, my friend.
Yes, sir. I was going to make a comment about the judo mastery of Vladimir Putin. I'm a student of judo for a number of years, and I've seen Putin's films and understand the throws. It's an interesting analysis that you give about the Harigoshi. Harigoshi is actually pretty much the entry level of the advanced throws in judo. It's at brown belt level already, so you already have serious expertise to be able to do.
Yeah, but wait. If the other opponent doesn't know any moves, I would say an entry level move would be sufficient.
Well, not necessarily, but if you're already at Harigoshi, then your entry level move already is way above where the next guy is, so you have a serious advantage.
All right, so all I said was reading this history of his judo, which is an interesting analysis. I don't think anyone else in the world media has done this. His move combines a hip throw and a leg sweep. Would you say that my analogy of taking the Crimea is the hip throw?
You could say that, yeah. Well, the leg sweep is second.
That's right. So tomorrow the leg sweep follows. Because he's put his opponent into a corner where he can't escape. Obama cannot escape from this position. Is that correct?
I would say you're right, and that's simply because he's a judo. You know, let me give you an interesting, because you talk about the philosophy of judo. What is the philosophy of judo? For those of us who were fortunate enough to have earned a black belt, and it's a big honor, believe me. It's not a simple thing to do. It takes several years.
I agree. It's an ancient, by the way, it's one of the earliest martial arts to enter America, and it's often dismissed as an old-fashioned martial art, you know, with Bruce Lee and Kung Fu, et cetera. It was forgotten. But I certainly know how powerful judo moves can be from personal experience in college. Fortunately for people that I don't get along with, I dropped judo in college.
You took judo in college?
I did. But I'll tell you reasons I dropped it at another time.
Because people dropped you, that's why.
Yeah, I'll never forget hitting the mat. I'll tell you that. So so what's coming tomorrow from this judo master, Mr. Putin?
Well, the thing is this, is that anyone who studies judo and reaches that level will tell you that winning the fight in any black belt, in any art, actually judo is actually more modern art. It's derived from the jiu-jitsu of the samurai warriors and was codified into a modern sport by Jigoro Kano back in 1890, and that's what was called Kodokan, and that's just...
No, I didn't say it's the most ancient. I said it was one of the first martial arts to enter America. I know that's true.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And it's funny, there's a movie called Blood in the Sun with... James Cagney and Sylvia Sidney, which talks about the United States in the late 1930s before Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. And he, James Cagney, actually, who did get a black belt in judo, there's a scene at the end where he fights the bad guy.
I think we're getting distracted from the big picture here, Hal. But I want to say that I'm glad that you, as a black belt in judo, heard my primitive analysis of Putin and what he's liable to do next based upon his background in judo. I don't think anyone else in the media has done this, but just because I pioneered looking at it this way, I don't think it'll be the last you hear of it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I know many of you swear by this show, and I know the audience is not the largest in the electronic media by any measure, but I know that you hang on my every word. And I try to give you a fair measure for your time. But I want to show you how bad the propaganda has gotten in the media. You may not have seen the story over the weekend with the story of the Ukraine and the stupid degenerates in Hollywood cavorting as though they're God Almighty. There was a mass stabbing in a railroad station in China. 29 innocent Chinese civilians were slashed and stabbed. Not one story told you it was done by Muslim separatists. They kept saying separatists. They didn't say Muslim. Mark my words, if we keep up with this kind of media, we're all doomed. There's no way this country can survive with a media that is this supine. A mass stabbing in China. 29 people are slashed and killed at a train station. And the media doesn't report that they're Muslim separatists from the country's northwest. I can guarantee you that the Chinese leadership knows who the assailants are. They know that the Muslim assailants were all dressed in black. They moved about the square without speaking like ninjas. And they moved and cut up Chinese as though they were chopping firewood. Some of the knives that the Muslims had were as long as 20 inches in length. A woman in a long black dress was amongst them, one of the practitioners of the religion of peace. Thus far, you haven't seen that story because you've been busy looking at one of the degenerates from Hollywood and what joke they might have told you about how evil Christianity is. Well, thanks for listening these 2 hours. It's the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I'll be back tomorrow for another installment. For the rest of America, hang by.
Adult content. Psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Russia has every right to wish that events in Ukraine had turned out differently, but it does not have the right to express that unhappiness by using military force or by trying to convince the world community that up is down and black is white. We have proposed and wholeheartedly support the immediate deployment.
You're listening to one of the most devious, evil people on the planet, Samantha Powers, who has just twisted history in order to justify the machinations of the New World Order. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Samantha Powers is a real enemy of America, as we all know. If you've studied this woman, you know how dangerous she is. You know that I've called her one of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. I have warned you in Trickle Down Tyranny who she is, who her husband is, what they've done to you, what they want to do to you, what they will do to you. Now she has the nerve to take reality and turn it upside down. We're talking about Russia, the Ukraine, the pipeline, Gazprom. We're talking about Putin taking Crimea without firing a single bullet, masterful strategist that he is. We're talking about the fact that this woman, this devious woman, Samantha Powers, who should have been thrown out a long time ago, has just twisted reality. She's saying Putin's unhappy with the outcome, but he has no right to use military force. Well, what outcome? The outcome was that there was a duly elected Ukrainian president named Viktor Yanukovych. You cannot change reality. I don't care if you're a Obama worshiper. I don't care if you stole the marijuana 24 hours a day. We had a legitimately elected president named Viktor Yanukovych. Right? What happened next? McCain, the broken Buick with fenders falling off and flat tires, goes over there in December when Putin is trying to put forward an image through the Olympics of a new Russia, and he knows that Putin can't do anything in December. And McCain, the war hawk, McCain, the warmonger, McCain, the enemy of peace, goes over there and stirs up the masses to overthrow the duly elected president of the Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych. What happens next is history. But you can't change history by saying that he wasn't duly elected. The Ukrainian revolution that we saw was fostered and encouraged by Samantha Powers, Nuland, Rice, and U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Jeffrey Piat. These four devils, in my opinion, were instrumental in staging a destabilization campaign. Okay? Now, Arizona Senator John McCain was also part of this duplicity. McCain, as I said to you, went to Kiev and helped incite the mobs. If there were such a thing as a Nobel Anti-Peace Prize, John DeShane McCain would win it hands down for his work, not only in the Ukraine, but what he did in Egypt and Syria. And the rest, of course, is history. Now we're talking about what's going to come tomorrow. Right now, Putin doesn't have to do very much. He knows what's coming tomorrow because he's in control of what comes tomorrow. There'll be a lot of bluster, but he's already de facto taken a large piece of land called the Crimea without firing a shot. And what have we done? Nothing. Where's Waldo? He gave a speech today. Waldo gave a speech today. Came out and gave a speech. The same time he attacked Israel. He put Israel's neck to a wall and said, you give away half your nation or you'll pay the consequences. That's what he did to our ally Israel. But to Putin, he did nothing. What should Obama do about the Ukraine? You must have an opinion. You must have an opinion. This is the Savage Nation. It's only a radio show. It's one man's opinion. I don't claim to know all. I know what I know, and I know what I don't know, and I know enough to know to talk about this. If I didn't know enough to talk about it, I would have talked about the Academy Awards like some of the radio shows. I would have stayed on solid ground. I would have talked about sports and entertainment because that's easy to do. This is complicated stuff. You need to have at least gone to high school and read one history book in between looking at baseball scores to know any of what's going on. And I don't think there's anyone in the conservative media who actually read history. Do you have any idea how vacuous this medium really is, the electronic media? Do you have any idea how empty this is? They don't know what history is. They haven't read history. How can they repeat history, which they haven't even read it? They don't care about history. They care about shilling you. So I'm going to give you an assignment over the next 2 days or 3 days. This is going to get hotter, not colder. So over the next few days, while you're listening to the radio and listening to various and sundry bloviators, I want you to tell me who uses the word Reagan more so than anyone else. I want you to tell me who calls for Reagan's strength in a time like this more so than anyone else. I can pretty much give you the scorecard now. I can pretty much tell you who's gonna go back to Reagan, evil empire. Strength through weakness, or whatever he said, something like that. I don't know, but that's what you want to listen to? That's worth your attention? I'm giving you an educated opinion. I don't expect you to agree with me. Many of you are war hawks. You would like to see America bring in the 7th Fleet into the Mediterranean, and some of you would even like to see a repeat of Serbian history, Serbia. Oh, yeah, some of you would like to see American warplanes dropping bombs on the Russian Black Sea Fleet. you wouldn't actually join the military to do that, would you? You'd have your neighbor's son do it. The neighbor that you hate, you'd have his son die for your cause in order to support Obama's image. That's about all, because there's no other reason to do that. But if you have an opinion that you care to express and argue with me over this, you can. I've given you my opinion for two straight hours now. It's over 2 hours now. And I want to reiterate my point of view so you don't misquote me, because it's easy to do. It's easy to misquote me. You ready for this? Here it is. The Ukrainians have every right to self-determination. If they want to overthrow their King George, who is Putin, good luck to them. It's their revolutionary war. It's not ours. It's their revolutionary war, not ours. If the Ukrainian people want self-determination, they want freedom from Putin, they have every right to organize, to seek international help, to get arms, and see how far they can go. I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think they will succeed, but they have every right to do it. Now, if you care to express your opinion, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I'll bring up another subject. If you were the leaders of China who've just signed an alliance with Russia, seeing how weak Barry is, China and Russia have just signed a new alliance. Russia and China have united because they see that Barry is, where's Waldo? He's not there. They see that he's just not there. There's no one there. They've known he's an empty suit. Now they see for sure he's an empty suit. The only people he can frighten are people in the media and people who he has control over through the IRS in America. But as far as real enemies, he's not there. Barry's not there. Russia has said China is largely in agreement over the Ukraine after other world powers condemn Moscow for sending troops into the country. Right? But China's along with them. So what do you think China's going to be doing next? Let's see. Let's put our thinking caps on. Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, Russia moves in and seizes a land area that's quite large, by the way. It may look small to you, but it's pretty big. Without firing a shot, they retake the Crimea. They claim it's part of their territory. They claim it's part of their history. They claim that they have a naval presence, and they take it, and nothing happens. So if you were China, and you would be looking at some small islands that you've been in dispute with Japan, what would you do? Oh, you'd probably take your brand new amphibious landing craft and you might actually exercise it on these little islands. You might do an amphibious landing on these islands and say, it's over, we did it, goodbye. And then if not a shot were fired by any of the international big boys like John Kerry, who likes to speak loudly and carry a limp stick, you might even decide to recapture your renegade province called Taiwan. Everything is now in play because of the weakness of Barry Obama. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I've heard a lot of talk from Congress about what should be done, what they want to do. One thing they can do right away is to work with the administration to help provide a package of assistance to the Ukrainians.
Package. There we go. Your money is being owed to the Ukrainians now. Meanwhile, in China, they've arrested the knife attack suspects, the Muslims, who slashed 29 Chinese in a railway station and injured 143. Innocent Chinese people slashed and killed in China. Not one word in the media that they were Muslim separatists. They're called separatists, knife attack suspects, militant separatists, everything but the word Muslim. But the Chinese know who the terrorists were, and they shot dead four of them by the police. They wounded one of the Muslim women, and the leader's name was Abdurrahim Kurban. Not a Shanghainese name. It's a member of the Muslim minority. With an act of terror, the state media is dubbing the incident China's 9/11. Now, maybe Obama can condemn China in the UN for not giving them a trial, not bringing them, let's say, to Beijing for a trial. After all, the police had no right to shoot these innocent terrorists without a trial. And we'll have to see if tomorrow Obama gets up before the UN and lectures China, or Kerry could lecture, or Madeleine Albright, or Brzezinski, could lecture China for having killed these poor innocent until proven guilty Muslim terrorists. But we'll have to stay focused to find out what actually happens tomorrow. Oh, if only fate would have sent him repentance. Burning repentance that would have torn his heart and robbed him of sleep. That repentance, the awful agony of which brings visions of hanging or drowning. Oh, he would have been glad of it. Tears and agonies would at least have been life, but he did not repent of his crime. I read you a paragraph from Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky, since we're talking about Putin, Russia, and the Ukraine. Maybe tonight you want to dust off some of your old Russian literature. You may get a little flavor for where they're coming from. And also, you may want to study Vladimir Putin's judo techniques, because as I told you in the last 2 hours, there's a lot to be learned from his martial art of judo. You have a former head of the KGB, who's also a former brawler in the streets, didn't want to be bullied because he was a short guy in the stinking backyards of Leningrad. So in his youth, he took up a martial art called judo. And then as a young KGB officer, to prove his machismo, he often picked fights in the street, according to what I have read. Now, I don't believe that we can then say he's necessarily a thug. I mean, after all, he's facing off against a very powerful community organizer who may have fired a Daisy BB gun in anger once or twice, or a wiffle ball. I would think maybe a wiffle ball on Vice President Biden's, maybe a water gun in Vice President Biden's backyard over a pool. He may have or cursed of a golf ball. So now if you have a judo expert who's a street fighter, who may, if you want to predict what he may do next, I said in the last hour, he's known for a certain kind of move. And it's not a very advanced move in judo. It's called haragoshi. And it's a move that combines a hip throw and a leg sweep. What does that have to do with what just happened? It's quite simple. I'm just trying to use my skills of analysis to predict what's coming tomorrow. Taking the peninsula known as the Crimea without firing a shot was the hip throw. He threw Obama on his back. He hasn't only thrown him on the back yet. He's just put his opponent into a corner where he can't escape. Tomorrow, he pounds his opponent into the floor with the leg sweep. That's coming tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Who's to stop him? Tell me who's to stop him. I didn't say it's right. I didn't say it's wrong. I just said it's going to happen. I told it to you last week. Because you actually can use the powers of analysis and logic to figure out what's coming tomorrow, if you actually still know how to think. So if you want to read my article, it's on michaelsavage.com, or go to WND directly. You can read the entire script from today's show, because I worked on it for 72 hours. Putin crosses Obama's pink line. Many of you agree with me. Many of you say, thanks for the analysis. Some commentators are cursing me and calling me names, claiming I'm an agent now of the KGB. Thank you for that honor. I don't speak Russian. I've never actually met a Russian. Other than my grandmother, who died about 70 years ago. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I don't have to live there to figure out what's going on. I know what's going on. It's pure logic and history. And if you really want to know what's going on, please start with the end of the Napoleonic Empire. After the fall of Napoleon is the beginning of what happens today. I know you don't want to hear it because you'd rather hear about the Academy Awards, or it's just simpler to say Reagan. Just say Ronald Reagan. Say Ronald Reagan 50 times each hour. Well, we've got to do what Ronald Reagan would do. Proof but verify, or something like that. I don't know what it was. Something along those lines. Trust but verify, yeah, yeah.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb, I'm smart, and I want the steps.
Oh, I'm almost punch drunk from this, because I have not slept since this started. I mean, I've gone to sleep, but I don't really sleep. I'm like a scientist. I'm like the man who invented the light bulb, Edison. He never slept. He slept for 10-minute intervals. My mind is so feverish that I'm awake 24 hours a day. I mean, even when I'm sleeping, I'm awake. I cannot stop thinking about what's going on in the world right now because of Barry's weakness and duplicity. But I predicted it. I'm not trying to sell you a book. In Trickle Down Tyranny, my last bestseller, I'll sell one book by telling you this. What did I say on the cover? He attacks his allies, and what does he do? He placates his enemies. I told you that. I could see what was coming. They're all in there, all the players, Samantha Powers, Susan Rice, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. By the way, where is Hillary Clinton in all of this? Isn't she a genius? Isn't she our ex-Secretary of State and the potential next president of the world? Where is she? Now, there's a picture of Bill Clinton with two hookers from a bunny ranch in the media. I found it over the weekend. Very clever guy. He's trying to undermine her again. He's competing with her. Why would he take a picture with two hookers from the bunny ranch hooker?
Join.
Well, here's some breaking news that just broke, I would say, I don't know, within the last hour. I just got it out of an Israeli website. Take it for what it is. Here's the headline. Moscow will halt military steps in Ukraine only after a U.S. guarantee not to post missile shield there. I'll read it to you. As Washington and the Europeans continue to decry Russian military aggression, the U.S. and Russians quietly began intense negotiations through Berlin on a deal for settling the Ukraine dispute. Debka File reports, Moscow will keep its military forces in Crimea. See, that's a done deal. But discuss terms for restraining the Russian army from advancing into the Russian-speaking eastern Ukraine. Kiev must stay out of NATO. The U.S. must guarantee not to deploy advanced radar missile shields or ballistic missiles in the country. And local armed bodies will protect Russian-speaking areas. That's breaking news. Only after U.S. guarantee not to post missile shield there. Now, if you go back to the beginning of Barry's reign of terror, he could have put the missile shield in then, but Barry withdrew the missile shield from day one because he wanted a reset with Russia. Remember him and Hillary Clinton talked about a reset with Russia? Well, one of the things Barry and Hillary did was they said to Russia, tell you what, we want a reset with you, so we're not going to put any missile shields in the backyards of our allies in Europe. Oh, good. So now years later, it's coming home to bite them in the you-know-what. Moscow will halt military steps in Ukraine only after U.S. guarantee not to post missile shield there. So the Kiev government, whichever form it takes, must sign an obligation to abstain from any ties with NATO. One. Two. Neither the U.S., NATO, or any other power will deploy X-band or BX-1 radar stations on Ukraine territory, whether on land, sea, or air. This guarantee will additionally cover elements. You want to hear any more of this? Restrictions will govern the types of weapons allowed the Ukrainian army. Would you like to hear a little bit more? Local military bodies will be established to protect the Russian-speaking and ethnic Russian regions of Ukraine. This is what's going on behind the scenes. It's happening right now. You may not read it in the newspaper, but you're hearing it on the Michael Savage radio program. I'm giving you breaking news because this is the biggest European crisis in the 21st century brought about by the worst and weakest president in American history. Let's take a quick caller or two. Lansing, Michigan, Ray on WJIM. Thanks for calling. Ray, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering what your thoughts are, Dr. Savage, on whether or not Putin might try to dump some of the Romanov jewelry, the diamonds and the emeralds.
You mean if we try to bust the ruble? You mean what might he do in retaliation?
Well, not just the ruble, but whether he just might try to do that just to, if they develop all this oil reserve, the gas reserves in Eastern Europe, and Putin can't, loses his trump card with the Russian gas. Whether or not he might just try to do something with the rubles,
with the diamond. I'm not familiar with the diamond market, Ray, so I can't speak with any degree of intelligence, but I was intrigued by the message on my board, Russia could crash the diamond market in retaliation. It's an interesting thought, but I haven't studied it, Ray, so I have to back off on even speculating on that particular one. Oh, I was just going to take the guy from Lynchburg. I was going to do that. 855-400-7282. Let's instead go to Norfolk, Virginia, WNIS, old ally of mine, old station ally. NIS, Edwin, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
sir. My thoughts on the whole situation is, when are we going to start taking care of our backyard?
That's exactly what I said at the beginning. You're right. It's the very people who are screaming the loudest for the territorial integrity of the Ukraine and their borders should be respected who are destroying our territorial integrity and our borders. Shall I name them for you? John McCain, border buster, lover of Mexican illegal aliens. John Kerry, internationalist, border buster, lover of every population except the American population. He's screaming the loudest for, we must respect Ukrainian borders and the national sovereignty of the Ukraine. Why don't you start here, John? Why don't you respect our borders? Why don't you put U.S. troops on the border with Mexico and say you've come to your moment of understanding, finally, that you've helped destroy the United States of America and you're sorry for it? I'm not going to talk about the Academy Award. I could care less about the degenerates and the puppets. They mean nothing to me. Nothing whatsoever. Let's see. Breaking news. Russia threatens to seize the entire Ukrainian Navy, all 21 warships, acting presidents. That's breaking news now. Another one now? Let's see this story. I just got it off the Daily News. I don't know how old this one is. President Obama said the administration is mulling economic and diplomatic steps to isolate Russia. Good luck. He explained, over time, this will be a costly proposition for Russia. Oh, yeah. I think the world is largely united in recognizing that the steps Russia has taken are a violation of Ukraine's sovereignty. My goodness, how chicky can we get? If that doesn't sound like a lecturing school mom, I'd like to know what does. This tops 1939. Over time, this will be a costly proposition. I think the world is largely united. He thinks now. Not he knows. He thinks the world is largely united. It's unbelievable to me. This is what weakness brings. But on the other hand, what did you expect? What did you expect? Obama also called on Congress to work on an economic aid package for Ukraine. An aid package. Isn't that nice? I wonder where the money's going to come from. Remember the First Lady a few weeks ago when she was telling all of these students, don't leave any money on the table? Sign those forms. Whose money is it that they're giving away? Let's pray for the children of the Ukraine. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray for the children of Crimea. Let's pray for the children of Russia. Let's pray to God that the adults in charge don't go to war. Let's pray to God that Obama comes to understand he's been outsmarted and outmaneuvered, and he has no options whatsoever because he has none. None. The only idiot who might call for war would be that old broken Buick, Senator John McCain, who pushed for the Iraq War and not so much as a few days ago was basically thumping something on a desk calling for war again. I heard him this morning before AIPAC, the American-Israeli Public Insane Committee or whatever, AIPAC, I don't know what it was. He sounded like a warmonger, like a madman. He was Do we have him this morning? Play John McCain this morning. Listen to this.
The President of the United States believes that the Cold War is over. That's fine. It is over. But Putin doesn't believe it's over. He doesn't believe that this is a zero-sum game. Look at Moldova. Look at the occupation of Georgia. Look at the pressure on the Baltic nations. Look at what they're doing in assisting Bashar Assad slaughter tens of thousands of innocent people in cities and towns and countryside all over
this
Syria.
This guy is an embarrassment.
It is an outrage.
It's an embarrassment mainly to the McCain family reputation. His grandfather was a great rear admiral. His father was a great admiral. This one is the black sheep of the family. What an embarrassment. This is unbelievable to me that he doesn't stop. These old senators just never, ever leave the stage. You know, if we've learned anything from him, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, it's that my professor at the University of California was correct. When I was working for my doctorate, I'm afraid to say it because there's so many people who are angry at me for having earned a higher degree. But while I was working for my doctorate at the University of California, one of my professors said that the first thing to go in the elderly is their judgment. I didn't quite know what he meant. But now that I listened to Boxer, Feinstein, and McCain, I know exactly what he meant. And I think we need term limits. We absolutely need term limits in the U.S. Senate because this ossified group of lunatics are dangerous for our survival. They're dangerous for women, children, and other living things. Let's take some calls. Let's go to KSFO. Rod, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, how's it going? I'm calling because I want to discuss the issue of the Ukrainians giving up their nuclear weapons at the disintegration of the Soviet Union back in the 90s. Bill Clinton.
Right. All right. Well, let's start again. You're right. When the Soviet Union disintegrated, the Ukraine was encouraged to give up the nuclear weapons that were stored within the Ukraine territory by the ex-Soviet Union. Okay. So what would you like to say about that?
Well, the question is, who's the bigger pariah on the world stage? The Americans, the Europeans, or Putin? The Americans, the Russians, and the Europeans basically gave the Ukrainians security guarantees for removing these weapons. Basically, if the territorial integrity was violated of the Ukraine, that they would come to their defense through the UN and various other ways. But so ultimately, who's going to fulfill that agreement? The Ukrainians haven't forgot it, and the Russians certainly haven't forgot it. They just ignored it.
No, I understand what you're arguing is what's the right thing to do, but I don't think that's the correct question, because in world politics, the right thing is often not followed. The issue here is whoever has power wins, as you well know. I'm not saying that's the correct way, but you know that Mao Zedong said power comes out of the barrel of a gun, and you know that that's correct, and you know exactly that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry to tell you, but it's already happened. It's not going to happen. It just happened in the Crimea. Without firing a single bullet, without killing a single soldier, thank God, Putin just took the Crimea. So what's to stop him from seizing the eastern Ukraine?
Well, I mean, you could blockade the Bosphorus for any Russian ships transferring through, and
well, hold on. Wait, you say the U.S. fleet could block the Bosphorus?
Yeah, NATO, basically that's a NATO strait.
You mean our new Navy, where it's basically a high school with propellers? Our Navy can block the Bosphorus? This Navy that lost a few ships a few weeks ago because they have trainees running the ships in order to make certain that the brochure looks good, that it has a certain number of women, a certain number of minorities as captains, that Navy can now stop the Russian Navy? I'm not so sure. I think that our military is so deballed under Obama that I don't even think we could stop a rusty old Russian Navy anymore. I think that the situation is reversed to the point that we are like the Russians when they went to war with their dreadnoughts against Japan. I don't know if you know that historical fact. The Russians were so filled with their power. I believe it was in 1904, if I can remember correctly. And the Russians brought in their huge battleships in a straight line, their dreadnoughts, brought them right down the line. They were positive that they were going to defeat this Japanese Navy. Unfortunately for them, the Japanese cut them to ribbons. I'm not so sure that we're not like the Soviet, the Russian Navy under the Tsar. That's how bad things have become under this rust bucket administration. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now.
A lot of my fellow countrymen say, we're weary of war. We want to get out. I hear this phrase over and over again. There'll never be another land war which the United States engages in. Do you know how many times in history that's been said?
Thanks,
do you know,
John,
how many times prior to
Thanks,
World
John.
War II when Hitler...
Okay, we heard that, John. Say, yeah. So he wants a land war? Is that what he wants now? Tanks to roll? What a moron. You know, one thing about live radio is it forces you to use all of your resources and every... If you're not firing on every cylinder, you'll know it pretty soon. And I took a guess, calling upon my memory bank just before the break, when I made a comparison between Japan and the Imperial Russian fleet, and I said I think it was in 1904. I just checked; it was in 1904. It was the battle at Port Arthur where the Russians lost their Russian Far East fleet. But the point is I remembered 1904, so my memory is working well. So my professor was wrong with regard to me. You're right about McCain and Feinstein and Boxer, but thus far my memory and my judgment is still operational. If I can remember that, things are pretty good. It is the Savage Nation, 855-400-7282. Let's take some callers on the Savage Nation program and see what you have, what you're saying about this, because I pray to God we're not dragged into war. See, the bottom line here is national interest. Where is the national interest of the United States right now? That's the only question we should be asking. I don't want to see America dragged into war by McCain, by Feinstein, by Boxer, by Soros, by Zabrinsky's, by Albright. That lunatic is back out from, she came back from whatever she does, which is lobbying for China, the last I checked. I don't want to see us dragged into another war. This is not to, to reject the claim that Russia just played an aggressive role in the Crimea, which it did. They did it. It was a calculated aggression. They did it, and they got away with it. So if you're an aggressor, for whatever the reasons, whatever your history is, Russia did play an aggressive role just now in the Crimea. But the fact of the matter is they got away with it without firing a shot. So what they're going to do tomorrow is the play of the day. And the play of the day is pretty clear. They're negotiating behind the scenes right now with the U.S., according to what I read to you. I haven't seen it on any website yet, to make sure that there's no missile shields placed in western Ukraine, and that there'll be no armed Ukrainian troops in the eastern Ukraine, and that armed Russian soldiers can protect the Russian-speaking population of the eastern Ukraine. So in other words, they're now dividing the Ukraine with Barry. Susan Rice and the Four Horsewomen of the Apocalypse are probably looking to put a smiley face on this as quickly as possible and come out and say how well they've done, and then go off to another dinner party. Maybe even have another rap star party in the White House that no one can see. After all, we've got to get down to the business of the White House, which is French fries and rap parties. And so the only way to get back to the real business of the White House, and I think there's a big vacation that was just canceled. I think there was a three-dayer coming up with Air Force One, Air Force Two, Air Force Three, and an Osprey. The only way to get back to the real business of the first family is to put this to rest as quickly as possible. So if it means dividing the Ukraine, what the heck. If you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. In this case, the Ukraine is the egg. And they're busy making the omelet called the New World Order, called scrambled eggs. What should Obama do about the Ukraine? If you want to get very serious about it, we can do that. Mark on KSFO, fire away, 30 seconds. I was waiting for this call. Go ahead.
Dr. Savage, great to speak to you this afternoon. You mentioned something about George Soros with a short sale of...
Last week. I told you he was betting against the market. What happened today?
Absolutely. The market went down and he is...
Thank you. That's right. The Rothschild of our time, who should be constrained by Interpol as quickly as possible, just crashed world markets. There are people who would burn the world down for a dollar. In my opinion, he's the most dangerous man in the last 100 years.